You are listening to Rouge, White, and Blue, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast. My name's Oz Davis, and joining me as co-host and wearing the Winnipeg Blue, Joe Pritchard. Joe, how's it going this week?
It's beautiful this week. There's a few things that didn't go quite the way that Winnipeg fans wanted them to go in both hockey and football this past week. But, you know, it's the middle of May. Hope springs eternal.
The double championship is still in play for Winnipeg.
Yes, it is.
Not dead yet. Right. And putting the Rouge in the Rouge, White, and Blue is our co-host, Dr. Rouge. Dr. Rouge, how are you?
A good recording day, of course, to both of you, and a good hello or a hello to CFL fans near and wide.
Far and wide, yes.
Or far and wide, or whatever.
Far and wide, hither and yon.
Whatever it is. Hither and yon. I guess if they have too much to eat and they are nearby me, they would be near and wide. But that's,
yes,
you know.
We shall let's move on.
yeah, that didn't work.
Wop, 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 wop.
No.
Right, okay. So we're going to talk about a little exercise that the three of us did, I guess, yesterday. Joe, explain briefly what we did. Because you know what? To be brutally honest, I'm not even 100% sure what we were doing, except that we were on Twitter debating the 2018 CFL season.
Yes. So the CFL has kindly offered for the podcast to be involved in a CFL media poll they're conducting. One vote per show for us. So we spent plenty of time yesterday when we probably could have been doing actual productive things in our lives, going over a bunch of questions that we'll go over later too and into next week's show as well, because we're not going to get them all done this week, I'm sure, but it'll be fun to see what the media and what the podcasters think will happen this next CFL season, because to be completely honest with you, I don't have a clue.
Oh, come on, you have a little.
How this is all going to turn.
Come on, you have a little. Right.
I have a guess.
Educated guess.
A guesstimate. How about that?
And I don't know.
One team. Look, guys, it's very simple. One team will beat another team late in November and win the Grey Cup. What more do you
probably it won't be an American team.
or a team from Montreal.
Not listen to this. Or from Halifax either, right? Come on, let's be a little kind here. Before we get started, Doctor, I just wanted to ask you real quick. Do you think we should call Joe out on the slight disingenuousness of his previous statement, saying that we could have been doing something more productive? Because actually, as we were filling out this ballot, Joe was what? Feeding himself and messing around with his child and probably changing a diaper in there? Is this what passes for productive?
I think Joe was being – here's the thing, though. He might have been the most responsible adult in that roughly 30-minute window. Because had a real responsibility.
School,
all right? A little person. Who, by the way, did you see the really adorable pictures of the little person that Joe posted
on Twitter a day or two? I wasn't going to bring this up for the public, but I'm glad you brought this up, Doctor. I hereby convene Kangaroo Court and fine Joe $5 to be paid on PayPal to go into the kitty for misuse of Twitter. That's a perfectly good Canadian Football Center Twitter account, Joe.
yes, it is. And I have posted pictures of him wearing bomber gear before, so, you know, I'm using it for good.
Misdemeanor misuse. But I'm finding you the $5. The judge, jury, and executioner has spoken. Kangaroo court adjourned.
Now, is this $5?
No, we can go $5 Canadian.
Because
I figure the kitty.
All right, so that's like $4.80, I think.
The kitty will probably be spent
like
Grey Cup 2018. So we should probably do it in Canadian dollars. In any case, moving on to the actual Canadian football talk of the show. Joe, your child, I must say, is stunningly beautiful kid. I've never seen such a perfectly round head since I was watching, since Lex Luthor on the Justice League cartoon. Honestly. Wow. Seriously. Great looking kid. Anybody who's into, like, you know, kitty pictures on Twitter, check out USFL Tecmo Twitter feed. It was about 23 hours old when I saw it. Right. Okay. Let's talk some football. Now, I was rudely awakened from my blissful, unawareness of what's been happening on CFL Twitter land. And apparently, things have been going down between 48-hour Winnipeg Blue Bomber quarterback Darian Durant and the Winnipeg Blue Bomber fan base. We're going to have Dr. Rouge break this all down, but since most people listening to this podcast probably know what's going on, we're going to have Joe tell us first why he's going to be silent for the next 10, 15 minutes of this podcast. Other than that, he wants to throw back a few beers. Joe?
Well, that is definitely a consideration. But for me, just watching all of this unfold, it just made me terribly, terribly uncomfortable because it very much – all that mattered when it comes to discussing this – and the discussions are still going on. I'm still seeing people talking about this with as much vigor as they were on Friday. So this isn't going away anytime soon. But basically it comes down to what – what letter you're wearing on your chest as to where you fall on this. And that makes me very, very uncomfortable because there's enough of that on our side of the line. I don't need to see all that crap going on there too. So really the way I'm seeing it being that since I wear a W on my chest a lot, anybody with an S on their chest is going to just crap on anything I say. And if I say anything that is even middle of the road, even people with W's on their chest are going to get on my ass. So I'm just going to sit this one out. I'm going to grab a root beer. Okay, I'm going to mute my microphone, and you guys have fun.
No opinion on the subject. Dr. Rouge, just in case anybody doesn't know, and just can you break us down? Can you give us a real quick timeline as to what happens here?
Sure. I mean, long story short, we were 9-ish days away from the start of the Blue Bombers training camp opening when Darian Durant announced his retirement. He, of course, was expected to be the team's backup quarterback this year. And it wasn't so much the frustration or anger wasn't so much that he announced his retirement as much as I think it was he went on social media to announce it. Apparently did not alert the Blue Bombers front office in advance. And then just when it seemed like, okay, maybe this was just merely a discussion about, you know, how to or how not to handle a retirement announcement, then all of a sudden the question of, wait, what do you mean he got a signing bonus and he's keeping it, really allowed this thing to magnify into something that, as Joe suggested, you know, began on Friday, and here we are almost 5 or 6 days later, and people are still debating whether Durant should have done what he did, why he did what he did, was he right, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy. And somewhere over the last 5 or 6 days, logic went completely
out. What happened in the 48 hours, do we know?
It, you know, where I think where this broke down, and what I mean by breakdown is in terms of logic disappearing and sort of emotion taking over, is that, you know, this, depending upon which side of the fence you're on, and what I mean by that is if you're on the Winnipeg side of the fence or the Saskatchewan side of the fence. And sadly, I'm not sure there really is any other way at this point to sort of view this. If you are a Winnipeg fan, then Durant might have been, and again, this is the conspiracy theories that are floating around. I don't buy any of these. I'm just saying they're out there. That basically part of him going to Winnipeg was to sort of get a sneak peek at the playbook and to maybe be able to then pass on to Chris Jones or
exactly
what the Blue Bombers might be planning for the year.
The long con.
You can see where even in that one example, logic is gone. Right. And so now what you're stuck with, if stuck is the right word, is this sense of either Durant is like any other player who can announce his retirement whenever he wishes, and it just so happens it was right before training camp, and yet I think it was 2 days before Andrew Buckley, who was expected to be the backup quarterback in Calgary, announced his retirement because he said he was going to medical school. And on Wednesday, the day that we record this podcast, Simeon Rotier, a lineman in Edmonton, announced his retirement, saying essentially that with the younger pool of talent that the Esks have available, that maybe it's his turn or his time to step aside. No one jumped up and down at the retirement decisions those two men made. And again, there wasn't another team involved. I get that. But nevertheless, this started with a question of, you know, should you or how do you retire and when do you retire and when do you announce it, and went completely off the rails with people wondering if maybe Durant's intentions were
insidious. Oh, okay. Nefarious.
What's the word? Nefarious in a way. Insidious. I mean, come on. I mean, stop. Darian Durant for about a 5-year stretch might very well have been the second best player in the Canadian Football League behind Anthony Calvillo. And he was certainly as dangerous a quarterback as Calvillo was. And, you know, for this personal animosity to jump in and to take over, I mean, stop. I mean, Durant's legacy is Durant's legacy. And yes, it was made in Saskatchewan. And it probably should never have gone to Montreal. There probably should have been a way to have worked. No, I'm being serious. I think there should have been a way to work out that he could have stayed there for another year or two before he, you know, ultimately chose to retire.
2 years ago.
He should have
2 years ago.
You know, when
that's
exactly, you know, but again, hindsight, 2020, all those sorts of things. Bottom line is, you know, the personal attacks left, right, and all over the place. You know, one fan to another fan to the player to fan base. I mean, stop. The man is entitled to retire when he wants. And the signing bonus was a contractual obligation that he and the team made. And at any point, the team could have cut him. The story would have been different.
That's always the thing I like to remind people. Here's my hot take. You basically like summarized it already, but I'm going to get even sharper with it. If a professional football player, if a college football player wants to retire at any time for any reason by whatever fashion he can, period. That's it. This is football, man. This is football. And
much like a team can cut a player
exactly,
and
that's
any time,
and that's the other thing I was going to say too is, every time you think you want to complain about, you know, like a player strike or this guy, you know, this player is suing because he makes $6.8 million a year and it's not enough or whatever. Or Darian Durant sneaking away, maybe, oh my God, with $70,000 Canadian. I mean, every time you think about that, you need to think about how much money owners make off these guys and how likely it is that they'll trade these guys, cut these guys, whatever, at a moment's notice, injury or no, concussion problem or no, steroid abuse or no, you know, they'll lose this guy for anything.
Well, and let's be honest as well, if he had still been in Montreal and he announced a couple of days ago he was going to be retiring and there was a signing bonus issue, I don't think a lot of this would have erupted the way it did. I think, you know, it was sort of the perfect storm. The two teams that are you know, tremendous rivals, a guy who was, again, maybe the best, if not second best player in the league, this notion of, you know, should his career have ended in Saskatchewan, you know, certainly, if nothing else, in better terms or in a better way than it did. But the reality is that, you know, a serious conversation that maybe could have been had, or a reasonable conversation, was lost, and the emotion just has to go away. And let's simply recognize that Durant is no different than Simeon Rotier, than Andrew Buckley, than any other player who walks away at the end of a season, just before training camp, etc.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised you're getting so worked up about it, Dr. Rouge, to be honest. Because, I mean, isn't this going to burn out? I mean, folks in Winnipeg are going to be distracted, like, pretty soon. I mean, geez, their team is in the Final Four here in the NHL. I mean.
And you know, if this had happened on the first day of training camp,
sure,
I think it also would have been sort of forgotten. But you know as well as I, you get right to the point when the season is about to begin, when the preseason is about to begin, and you know as well as I, everybody is thinking, my team has a chance, my team has a chance, my team has a chance. No distractions, no nothing. Let's move forward, let's win, etc. And, you know, this became a gigantic talking point. If this had happened tail end of this week or first part of next, when training camps are open, it would have been a half a day discussion and we'd have moved on to something
absolutely
else.
Right. Okay. So, Joe, are you joining us? All right.
Yes. Did you miss me?
I don't know.
Yeah, after three
two-person show.
I did 3 years of a two-person show, right? And then we added Dr. Rouge, and it's weird to go back to two. It's weird. So in any case, okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the CFL media poll, I guess. CFL media writers poll. I was thinking, you know, we kind of like reduced our votes in this, guys. We each actually gave ourselves a third of a vote rather than a whole vote. So, but in any case, okay, so a bunch of categories were asked by the CFL as part of the media poll for the 2018 season. We're gonna go over most of the choices that we made. We roughly, like, you know, had a mini debate on each of these things. Most of the time, two out of us agreed from the go, and then we just, you know, cajoled the third person into going with us and whatnot. Reached a compromise on these votes and submitted it to the league. Now, we'll go over most of these on this show today. We'll save some of the, you know, bigger ones for next week. We'll save some of the conference winners and whatnot, the Grey Cup, our Grey Cup projection as a unit and as individuals, I guess, next week. Although, we won't. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about your blog post, Dr. Moretti. Refresh my memory. What is the name of your website? Because I always just click through Twitter.
That's right. It is AJM Broadcast.
Right. Now I think Kangaroo Court is going to fine you a good $15 or $20 for this one, Dr. Rouge. You know, you did this nice predictions column about how you see the CFL working out. And then right before you get into it, in this italicized paragraph, you run this disclaimer about how you might change these predictions. Okay, now look. A, don't change your predictions. B, if you're going to change your predictions, don't tell us you're going to change it. We might not remember. You might get away with it. Ah, Dr. Rouge.
This
okay, the court has spoken.
This
$20 fine. $20, pay up. In any case.
Hey, Joe, I have a question. Hey, Joe, I got a question about all these fines.
I did. It's Kangaroo Court.
Judge?
I said it first.
What is this, like North Korea? You just make the decisions? It's all decided?
Think quick.
Hey, think about this, Joe.
Well, given that we're the two that have been fined so far, I think we can outvote him by saying
outvote.
That these fines no longer
count. This is judicial branch.
What do you
think? You know, the Senate. You don't vote. All right. In any case... All right, let's get on to this here. Okay, let's see. Where can we start this? I'm just looking through the thread here. I guess we should start with most improved in the off season. Or no, wait, no. See, well down here. Okay, hold on. Okay, how about most improved player? Okay, here's the first non-team question we got. Who is the most improved player in CFL season 2018 and why? Let's see. Okay, so I'm looking at this and I think, okay, Dr. Riz, you were pretty definitive about this. You weighed in first. So tell us, who is it and why?
And if I remember right, was this the question that had to deal with a second-year player?
No. That's way down the list. This is just simply most improved player of 2018.
That's way down the list.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Most outstanding player.
Most improved player. 2018.
Yes.
Most outstanding player. Okay. I think the most outstanding player on offense will probably be Mike Riley.
But you got to give us the why, too.
Oh, yeah. My sense is that, you know, he will probably again lead the league in passing. If things break a little bit in their favor, and it may not be many breaks, they could end up with at minimum a division championship, maybe a Grey Cup appearance, maybe a Grey Cup championship. But I think that Riley has sort of solidified himself as the quarterback in the CFL right now. And even though there's some questions about who his weapons might be, I think with CJ Gable in the backfield, there is now a legitimate opportunity to run the ball, taking even more pressure off him. I think Riley is the offensive MOP.
Now, Joe, you agreed with the running back, right? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think just their depth in their backfield is going to make life a lot easier on him, because last year they were all over the place with their running game until they got Gable. Now if they have that solidified, that's going to make Gable him even more dangerous.
Okay. All right. Let me give you an easier question then, Joe. What keeps Riley from winning this thing? Like who would be your second choice? How does Riley not win this thing?
Well, given that, that's very simple.
Okay, right.
If he gets hurt, he doesn't win the thing.
Right.
But barring that, we're going to have somebody, another quarterback, put up ridiculous numbers. Because that's – or we have to have a running back or receiver just have an ungodly year, which I just don't see, maybe with the exception of James Wilder. The only other person I could see winning the MOP right now, just the way things stand in my mind, would be Bo Levi Mitchell. But given all the changes that have happened in Calgary, I think Riley has more weapons now and is more used to what he has. So I think I'm going to have to stay with Riley on that idea.
Now, if Andrew Harris does go 1,000-1,000 this year, I know he came very close to it last year. If someone like, and maybe he's the only one capable of doing that as a running back, but that would be the only person or statistic that I'd look at and go, ooh, that might be even more impressive than the yards and the touchdowns that we think.
Now, Wilder's a threat to put up some monster numbers too. Now, he's going to be playing in Toronto, so I don't know how much of a factor he'll be in any playoff race and any serious contender. But, I mean, you know, either of those two guys, I think, could have monster enough, you know, numbers to win the award. You know, it's the Russell Westbrook phenomenon, right? You just put up these statistically arbitrary but significant numbers, and yeah, that'll get you in the conversation, definitely. Okay, all right. Yeah, well, in any case, our ballot says Riley. Right. Okay, so question five, but question two here on the podcast is, who's the player most likely to break out? Now, I know that Dr. Rouge wants to go with Johnny Manziel here. No. Right. Okay. So what did you end? Oh, okay. Right. Okay. Do you remember who you went with?
I think that DeVaris Daniels out of Calgary has a chance to become the receiver this year. You know, much like Zylstra put up some incredible numbers last year in Edmonton. You know, Daniels to some extent you know, the first year or two was in the shadow of some of those more veteran receivers. A couple of those guys aren't there. The face of the franchise is a little bit different than it has been. I think Daniels could go pretty easy for 1,000 yards as a receiver this year. Again, expecting that he becomes the number one or number two target in Calgary.
Yeah, and that number one, number two target stays such all year long.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary mm-hmm. likes to slip stuff up. What's your ceiling and floor for Daniels, Joe?
Well, I think Daniels is going to be that guy, like Dr. Murdy does. I think the ceiling is decently high. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Murdy was quoting like 1,200 yards. I think he could even go a little bit further than that. Mm-hmm. I think his absolute floor is somewhere like 800 yards and a bunch of catches. Mm. But
wow,
I just see him being much more important this year because there's no Marquise McDaniel anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a big hole in Calgary. Right. Okay. How about this one? We've got which team? I'm surprised. I was kind of surprised, actually, that the CFL put this one out there. Which team made the best overall moves this offseason? Now, I don't know. Me and the doctor kind of mixed it up a bit on this mm-hmm. one.
We had to say about this one.
I'm gonna stick with Saskatchewan. I you know, again, Jones has been playing the revolving door. Chris Jones has been playing the revolving door ever since he got there. And I think that it's not so much that he made outstanding signings. I mean, he did bring aboard Caleros, which is nice. I mean, mm-hmm. even as a second string, I like. Jerome Messam, for me, is one of the best off signings of the offseason as well. I think this guy puts the offense over the top, and already that was a heck of an offense last year. I mean, they had five top quality receivers on that team. And I would also include among offseason moves the re-signing of Daron Carter for Saskatchewan because he was so important and great, let's face it, for them last year. So that was my argument for Saskatchewan. Now, Doctor, you went completely unexpected on me. You went with, tell me.
I went with the BC Lions for this reason. I think, you know, when I looked at that question, the way that I viewed it was, which team has a chance to really be significantly improved from last season to this one? And, you know, I could see the Lions being much better because they'll have a strong offense, presuming the offensive linemen fall into place as they might. If they have a strong offensive line, if Jonathan Jennings bounces back, if they get some of the improvement on the defense, and granted, they did lose some players on defense, which has me a little skeptical about what that team might be able to do, especially playing some of those high-powered offenses in the West on a pretty regular basis. But, you know, you could see the Lions being a better team this year and still finish last in that Western division. And that's what sort of generated the whole discussion between the two of us, or the three of us, about, you know, what do we really mean by the most improved team?
Okay. What do we mean by the most improved team, Joe? I mean, I don't know. I'd go eye test, Doctor, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the question was phrased as who made the best overall moves in the offseason.
Right.
That's the question, I would side more with Saskatchewan simply because they knew they needed to make a fix at the quarterback position, and they went out and got the one guy available that's a known commodity to them that they believe can improve that position. Now, does that mean necessarily that this will pan out? Maybe, maybe not. I'm actually a little bit skeptical it will, but that's probably one of the biggest things they needed to fix this offseason, and they at least took a swing at it. And they didn't just take a half measure swing. They went for it all right there with that move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now here's what's interesting, Joe, because you're talking some smack, but check this out. The next question on the poll is, which one player acquisition will have the biggest impact in 2018? And you went with Zach Collaros.
Exactly, and here's why I say that.
So you think negative impact?
I say that I don't know exactly, but he is going to dictate whether this Ryder team is dreaming of Grey Cups or if they're looking and going, what just happened? We have all this talent around, but we couldn't put it together.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the glue on this. I know Brandon Bridge has shown some flashes, but if the Riders believed he was the guy, he'd be the guy. So
no.
All their eggs in the Collaros basket as far as November in Edmonton.
See, no. See, the other thing is this. The thing I like about the Riders offseason is even the under-the-radar stuff. Look, they know Brandon Bridge isn't the guy, but Brandon Bridge is often the guy on the goal line. Brandon Bridge is often the guy on third down, and he is the dude that can come into the game late against Montreal when it's decided. You know, he is a guy that can come in when the other dude is knocked out of the game. I mean, the Brandon Bridge re-signing is going to be underrated. I was never a huge fan of this guy in Montreal, but this dude has grown on me. He's gotten progressively better. He's the most boring player in the CFL, but he's solid, you know? He's dependable. He's not brilliant, but he's there, you know? He's an excellent second-string quarterback.
I mean, this way. If the Riders are getting the Zach Collaros from 3 and 4 years ago, 12-6, a division championship, maybe. A Grey Cup championship, maybe. If they're getting the Zach Collaros of 2 years ago, you're looking at 9-9 or 10-8 and probably a crossover. And, you know, the crossover didn't work so well for them last year. And Joe's right that there will be an awful lot of pressure on him if he does not deliver those championship dreams.
Okay. All right. Next question. Who leads the league in receiving yards? Okay. I'll go to Joe first. Joe, who do you like here?
I went with Greg Ellingson because I believe that the Red Blacks are going to put up a lot of passing yards. They still do have Brad Sinopoli as well, but Greg Ellingson is going to get the lion's share of that because this isn't the same receiving core it was a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
There's a few names that aren't there anymore. They do have some talent there, but Ellingson is clearly the guy, him and Sinopoli, but I believe Ellingson is going to have the better year. I believe Ottawa is going to be passing the ball a lot this year. Trevor Harris does put up great numbers. I just see him as, given he's going to be targeted more often than somebody, say, on the Riders, like we were just talking about, where they have five great targets. When you only got two or three, that guy's going to put up more yards, so I'm going Ellingson.
Okay. All right. Now it's interesting here because I'm looking at the transcript of our conversation, and, Doctor, you're like Ellingson. Bam, bam, here's my argument, da, da, da. And then, like, within a couple of lines, you're talking yourself out of it. You're telling me about Darvin Adams, okay? So what's the case for Darvin Adams?
The case for Darvin Adams is he returns completely healthy, which, again, you have to anticipate he will, that the Bombers show that the first 14 or 15 games that they played last season is what they're capable of doing again in 2018, that with Nick Dembski joining the team, there's some pressure taken off of Adams, but he is, like Ellingson, the clear number one receiver and a team that could perhaps be really, really good. He is, and if my memory is correct, I think he finished fourth in league receiving last year, and he missed, what was it, the last game and a half or two games, I forget offhand. I agree, I think Ellingson, I don't think it would be a surprise to see Adams have a tremendous season. Those two as 1 and 2 in league receiving wouldn't surprise me. Although, again, I do think that Daniels in Calgary is going to have a really good year as well.
I do think trying to pick who leads the CFL in receiving yards is not easy. That's what I think. I think you could probably get a Quinella of the top five or six in some order, but I don't know. Number one, tough to call. All right, let's see. How about leader in rushing yards? Easy one, Joe. Tell us.
If James Wilder is playing a full season, I can't see anybody doing better than he will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Love Wilder. Oh, I can't wait to see Wilder. I'm so glad they got this whole contract dispute thingy fixed in Toronto because, wow, he was awesome at the end of last year. God, so great. All righty. Let's see. How about... Oh, okay. I hate these kind of questions. I can do my rant after, but... Okay, so, question is, if you were starting a franchise today, you would be rich and could draft one current CFL player to lead your squad, who would it be?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I'm sitting in the Halifax Schooners GM chair...
Right, okay, here we go.
...choice...
There we go.
For 2018, the franchise is granted, the stadium is built. We're in La La Land here, but let's play along with that. So if I get the – and I've also, since I'm so rich, was able to convince the league, I get to take one player from any team.
Mm-hmm.
I am going for today, right now, Bo Levi Mitchell.
Okay.
Because you have a combination of age going for him as well as his ability. Mike Riley is obviously in the conversation, but I'm going to have Bo Levi Mitchell for a few more years than I would have Riley most likely. So that's going to be my choice.
See, okay, all right. And that's what we went with on the ballot. Dr. Rue seconded this enthusiastically. But here's my rant. And you know, I know people are going to like, I'm being a spoil sport or a grumpy old man or whatever, but I'm not. Look, this kind of question is best left for frickin' football sim games. Oh yeah, that's right. There is no CFL sim game. But anyway, that's another rant altogether. But anyway, because nowadays, look, we've had the Ottawa Red Blacks, right? We've had the Las Vegas Knights, okay? It's much more compelling to think about the guys that you actually have a chance at getting, right? And wow, imagine that these guys could be a good team. You see, the way that these expansion teams have been created lately, it really puts that excitement into an expansion team that we haven't seen in a long time, i.e. you think they can actually compete now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why am I going to jerk around with these fantasy games about, you know, Bo Levi Mitchell being my draw? You know, I want to imagine that team that has to have Brandon Bridge as the starting quarterback because he wasn't protected, and what could he do? You know, to me, that's just the more interesting question. To me, now that expansion franchises can be viable franchises from the go, I hate these questions.
But you raise an interesting question, and that is, let's presume that there is a team in Halifax in anywhere from 1 to 4 years, just to throw a number out there. Based on what we've seen with the NHL's Golden Knights and, you know, based on this notion of, you know, we don't want to stink forever, I wonder how much pressure there's going to be on or within the commissioner's office to ensure that this Halifax team is not stacked with, you know, a bunch of cast-offs and bums for a few years. And it's sort of in a perpetual stuck 4-14, 6-12 kind of pace, where instead you say, look, we want this team to have the potential to be 9-9 in its very first year. I got to think there's going to be a lot of pressure to make sure this team doesn't get, you know, just yesterday's newspaper, so to speak, as its starting quarterback.
Yeah, but there wasn't that kind of pressure in Ottawa, for one thing. For another thing, folks in Halifax, I mean, part of the deal is that folks in Halifax are going to sell out that stadium every time for the first year, two, three. You know, that's the thing, because they have a professional sports team. You know, so it's a little bit different than like starting a team in say Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, I mean, it's mm-hmm. a little bit different than that. I think there is real pressure. There will be in the future if there is any more expansion in American sports leagues, but I don't think there will be. Maybe in the NHL, because we got to get a team in Quebec City. Let's get that team in Quebec City. Come on, put that team in Quebec City. I'll
Not
switch
with
allegiances.
This current commissioner. Good luck with
oh,
that.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, they were supposed to, but anyway. That's another mm-hmm. story, too. All right. We're doing well at not going off the rails. All right. Next question. Most outstanding Canadian for 2018.
I think we all agreed on this one in about 2 seconds,
yeah.
didn't we?
Yeah. This was a good unanimous one. Alex Singleton, been one of my favorite players these past few years. Just mm-hmm. love watching this guy. You know, this is the kind of guy who – he reminds me a lot of Brian Urlacher. My guy out of University of New Mexico, in that, you know, he's playing that linebacker position, and he's playing it in such a way that he's in on every play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, total field awareness. You know, he's that kind of guy where if you have a son that wants to be a linebacker, you make him watch this guy and watch what he does and watch how he follows the play. Love Alex Singleton. Most outstanding Canadian. That would be great. How about this one? On a similar note, most outstanding defensive player.
Same song, next
verse. Repeat.
Yep.
Wow.
Same
See, that
song,
would be,
next verse.
That would be pretty remarkable. Have a Canadian as most as best defensive player in the league. That would be great. Okay, let's see. What else? Okay, and comeback player of the year was another. You know,
another one that's I was surprised. This one took us again, like 2 minutes to, or not even 2 minutes to figure out. It was, yeah, boom, we were done. You know,
JC Sherritt
mm-hmm.
would be looking for him to have a nice season. This one, I'm afraid to even talk about this one because I'm like still baffled by that. I'm having nightmares about this one. All right, the CFL is evil for doing this to us. Okay, which. This is the question. Which 2017, not 18, 17 draft pick will make the most impact this year? Now, I kind of thought this was a bit of an unfair question because, of course, the CFL draft is so weighted towards offensive linemen. And, you know, we tend to think of the offensive line as a unit, you know, as a team within a team. And it's tough to... For somebody like me, who's not, you know, really high educated in gridiron football, to really say, oh yeah, that right tackle, he makes the difference to this team. So I was really kind of stumped by this
Joe
question.
And
this did
force.
Take us a while to
and,
answer.
And Joe's reasoning was real strong too.
Okay, yeah, all right, Joe. You made us look good. Make us look good.
Okay. Simply because anybody that goes from a late round draft pick to making the Edmonton Eskimos and their front four have a massive lineup change like they had over this offseason has already made a big enough impact. He doesn't even have to play it down this year. He's made the biggest impact because you now see Odell Willis in BC for God's sake.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Well put. Well mm-hmm. put. All right. Let's see. How about the next one? Which non-playoff team from last year will have the most wins this year? I'm kind of – yeah. Okay. So the non-playoff teams last year were Hamilton, Montreal, and BC?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
This one was like, yeah, you know, next question, yeah. I mean,
yeah,
let's
yes,
put it this way. If it's not Hamilton, holy cow, all right? I mean, you know, and that's giving DC as much respect as it deserves and recognizes that that Montreal obviously has, you know, some significant steps to take. You know, if Hamilton is what we expect Hamilton to be, you're looking at ballpark 11-7, somewhere in there. And I just cannot imagine the BC Lions being better than 11-7. I just cannot imagine. It has to be Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah. Has to be Hamilton. That's that. I guess they gave us that question to make up for the 2017 rookie question.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's nice that we got the gimme there, because that rookie question is that hurts. That hurts. Okay, love this question. Who is the most underrated player in the CFL? Do you suppose, Joe, are they going to – do you know – are they going to post, like, the results? Are they going to give us, like, percentages, or are they just going to give us the winner and the runner-up?
I don't have a clue. We'll just have to see how it comes out.
Because, yeah, I love this kind of question, because this is always the one where you can get, like, 10 different answers and you know, everybody will have a real strong opinion about their answer. I mean, for me, it's Namon Roosevelt. I think that's who he went with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I eventually like harangue you guys enough to go with this one? I just think, I don't know, if this guy were in another situation, if he had been on more of a contender the past couple of years, we'd be talking about him as one of the best receivers in the CFL. This guy just had a monster couple of seasons last couple of years before he missed a few games last year. With an injury and no one's noticed. You know, it's just, I love watching this guy. I love watching this guy. And I think he's going to have another good season this year. I don't know if it'll show so much on the statistics because, you know, they have so many receivers there in Saskatchewan, including, Daron Carter who racks up the numbers. But for my money, he's quite an underrated player. Now Joe, you went with Declan Cross. Here's another guy whose impact is not always seen in the stats, but tell us.
It just seems like every time I look up, they've gone away from SJ Green and Wilder for a moment, and there's Cross with a big gain and a first down and coming out of nowhere. And they're just going to keep doing that this year, I think.
Yeah, another guy in the lights of a superstar out there. Okay. And Dr. Rouge, I got to give it to points for originality here.
Owing to my, what's the word?
Affinity?
Affinity is putting it kindly. I was going to say sort of, you know.
Worship?
Worship of the Rouge, yes. I threw a kicker into the conversation just to have a little fun at this point, so I went with Sergio Castillo simply as a moment of levity, and obviously, and again, I'm not making fun of Sergio Castillo, don't misunderstand me. I just wanted, though, for us to be able to at least somehow, some way, weave the Rouge into this conversation. That was it.
Did you ever find out how many Rouges he had last year?
I think it was 8, if I remember right.
Awesome. I can't trash talk you. No, look, there's no problem with Dr. Rouge. The Rouge White and Blue always has a high fondness, high appreciation for the kicker, especially the kicker punter. And I think the CFL does appreciate their footmen a lot more than the American version of the game, where they're talking about getting rid of, you know, the opening kickoff and kickoffs after touchdowns and stuff like that. So taking the foot out of football in America, but not in Canada. Let's see. I didn't like this question very much either. And again, I was pretty surprised that the CFL asked this one of the media. But question is, which team has the biggest home field advantage? Now, Joe, how many parks have you been to, Joe? How many stadiums have you been to?
I have been to Winnipeg, old and new, but only new as far as an actual home game. The old Saskatchewan Stadium, not new. BC,
okay.
Hamilton, and home game for them, and Toronto Grey Cup. So I have seen 3 parks out of the four that I've seen teams play the home games in be incredible experiences. It's very hard to say no to Hamilton, to say no to Winnipeg, or to say no to Saskatchewan. I feel like the size and the configuration of the Prairie stadiums right now probably helps out a little bit more. Tim Hortons is a lot more open air, so some of the noise gets lost. As far as I'm concerned, you flip a coin on the Prairie ones. I think we ended up with Saskatchewan in the end just because it literally came down to a coin flip. But one of those two is going to be it, and Hamilton's a very darn close third.
Well, Dave Ridgway was on the show last week. We got to pimp that show a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Dave Ridgway was on the show last week, and you know, the way that he described Saskatchewan, the new park, he was talking about the new stadium he was talking about, was it was almost like a college basketball court where you know, you get the high wall effect, you know, where it's just the wall of fans, and it makes, you know, 25,000-30,000 seem like, you know, 60,000-70,000. Again, me not having been there, I think, you know, that was the argument to push this coin flip or this dice roll in the Saskatchewan direction. Plus, they just got the new stadium, so give them props for that. Now, you've been where, Dr. Ruse? You've been to Toronto, right?
I've been to the four Eastern Stadium or Eastern Division team stadiums, but in Ottawa, I've not seen a Red Blacks home game. I saw the Grey Cup last year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Which one do you like the best? Which stadium do you like the best? I mean, for me on TV, the TD Place, Hortons in Hamilton is just gorgeous.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm sort of old school in some ways when it comes to stadiums. I think McGill is a great facility. It's in and of itself. And
McGill is gorgeous.
It is great. And with all the brick that surrounds there, and it sits on top of the hill, and you know, you can sort of see, you know, Montreal from down the hill there. You know, I think from sort of, and if you're thinking old school, so to speak, you know, I think McGill is where you want to go.
Like,
I think
tradition.
Tradition. And of the new ones, I did like Ottawa, although boy did I freeze that night at the Grey Cup. But it was cold that night. But partially might have been because they didn't dress
it
correctly,
was.
But that's another story altogether.
Stupid American.
I think that facility is pretty neat.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. All right. Let's see. Wait. What else do we have here? Oh, okay. Which current head coach would you choose to coach your team?
We got into some debate about this one. I noticed.
Yeah, you really got on the soapbox here for Trestman. Trestman?
Here's my argument about Mark Trestman. I mean, forget the success he had in Montreal. I mean, he had some fantastic teams there. Last year, he took a team that was expected to be just simply awful and quietly, steadily, consistently put a team out there that had a chance to win every week. And then once we got to about week 15 or 16, you could really see the pieces in that team starting to come together. For me, you know, this question in my mind was, if you had to win one game, who's the guy you pick? And I'd have picked Trestman over any other coach in the league right now.
Okay, well, I was looking at it more from a season kind of team building perspective.
Sure.
Now, Joe, I guess we ultimately went with Trestman, and you were at least leaning toward Trestman. Is there any argument to be made for anybody else?
You can make
what is the argument?
You can actually make an argument for most of the coaches in this league, you know, except for Montreal's coach. But I thought about the question, I thought about each of the coaches, and I kind of went, okay, what about him? Well, yeah, but something. Every single coach, except for Trestman. I couldn't think of a reason why not for Trestman. Some of the reasons why not weren't all that big of a deal, but they were at least there. And now I got nothing for Trestman. So that was my
answer. If you have Trestman as coach, do you need Pop as GM?
That relationship works. You know,
right. I mean, is that the minus there? I mean, is that the Achilles heel? Is that the only time it works? And again, you know, for me, the Toronto Argonauts are like, and I'm going to go there. The Toronto Argonauts are like the Donald Trump of the CFL. Not because of any political reasons or anything, but I honestly believe that Toronto didn't think they were going to win. just like Trump thought he wasn't going to win. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know, man. Again, we've been through two of the weirder Grey Cups and one of the flukier ones in the past several years, and Trestman was the benefactor. I don't know. To me, I just look at what Chris Jones did in Edmonton. I look at what he's doing in Ridertown right now, and I suspect that they're going to be even more successful this year. And I just like that team building aspect of Chris Jones. You know, he's hands on and he's in that process, and I've seen it 1.5 times already. So that was my argument, but our ballot says trust me.
I'm just curious. Let me throw sort of a wild card out there as we sort of wrap up this question. If Calgary had won the last two Grey Cups, would we have automatically said Dave Dickinson for this question?
Yeah.
Would it have been possible to have thought of anyone else? I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, he would be, because we would have taken the previous coach like 3 or 4 years ago if he asked this question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sure. I think so. All right. Let's see. All right. We're gonna save that last one for next time, because that's a great one. That's an easy one and a great one. All right. So here's the last one. Very easy. Joe, you can do this one. What up-and-coming coach who has never been a head coach would you choose to run your team? Tell us. Go.
So my Halifax Schooners would have Orlando Steinhauer as the head coach. Assuming Hamilton doesn't make me pay too much for him, that's my hire. No questions asked.
Uh-huh. And I can't interest you in Anthony Calvillo?
I've already got my quarterback and I got my coach, so I'm going to go no.
Yeah, he might actually be the Alouettes head coach by the end of the year this season. Right.
Which means
okay.
He'll be fired as soon as the offseason ends.
Oh, my God.
They go through coaches like every 6 weeks up there.
Well, no, we're working on the Joe Pritchard master plan here. We're going to clean house and bring in Ken Austin. Let him build the team up. In any case, okay, well, we've already run way over what I wanted to do, so we're going to close it rather abruptly here. Joe, tell us what you will be doing until next week's show, and tell us how you like your Jets.
So that's part of what I'm going to be doing until the next show, is watching more hockey in the span of a month or two than I watched all season, because I get – like 4 Jets games a year, maybe, because I'm not paying for the package spend too much time watching the CFL into the NHL season to make that worth it. I will be watching some of the Jets. I'll be watching some of the Brewers. I'll be playing with my boy and enjoying the beautiful weather we're having.
All right. Great. I don't know. As for me, I'll be watching a lot more basketball. It's getting really good in the NBA right now. Dr. Rouge, big plans for the next week.
Big plans? Let me think. Big plans? No, not really. No. All kidding aside, my younger son's soccer team, for which I have been coaching, loosely defined, we have a game on Saturday. And then we have a tournament 2 weeks after that. We're off for Memorial Weekend here in the States. And other than that, a couple of work projects that are slowly moving along. And I am, to this point, still successfully avoiding the honeydew list.
Okay. I got to ask, what is that?
The missus telling me what I need to get done around the house and outside.
Oh, mm-hmm. Honeydew.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
But I'm making progress on some of these.
Okay.
Just not as fast as I should be.
See, that vocabulary does not exist in my house. I am the housewife, and my family are all tremendous slobs. So that honeydew just does not come up. Honey, get out of the house and let me clean. It's more like it. In any case, right, so that's my exciting week. I'm going to be watching a lot more of that other Durant play ball this week. And until next week, I'll sign off. My name's Oz Davis. I have been your co-host along with Joe Pritchard and Dr. Rouge. We've been talking CFL football right here on the Rouge White and Blue, and we will talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.
How's it going this week?